Samurai Sweets whiskey is like a snooze button for your problems. NBA storyteller Live, who I don't think is a comedian, said Kodak getting into generic drugs is like if Radio Shack got into birth control. Conan O'Brien said, I let a jellyfish sting me today just for the physical contact. Carmen Lynch asked, does drinking alone still make you an alcoholic, or did COVID change the rules? Larry the Cable Guy said, you know you're getting older when you go to female jello wrestling just for the jello. NBA star Blake Griffin was on The Tonight Show and spoke to Jimmy Fallon about basketball. And the conversation turned to which comedian is the best at basketball. Blake Griffin named Adam Sandler. Apparently some other people good at basketball are Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell, and Sarah Silverman was a frequent player in Gary Shandling's pickup games. Who knew? Blake Griffin is going with Adam Sandler. Whitney Cummings was on the Ashley Graham podcast Pretty Big Deal, this story from Yahoo. Cummings explained her codependency as, quote, the inability to tolerate the discomfort of others. If you find yourself obsessed with someone else's perception of you, if you find yourself thinking that you need to take care of other people's feelings, if you have a hard time saying no, if you find yourself being addicted to control and take on the consequences of others, if you find yourself in relationships or friendships that don't really make you feel good, but you feel like you have to stay with them. She said in her past, she found herself enabling a lot of people with addictions and personality disorders, and she enrolled in 12-step Al-Anon meetings for those with loved ones who are addicts. She says, in a 12-step meeting for codependents, I once heard a man say, in this program, we are pathologically thoughtful and obsess over each other's problems to avoid our own. I got a pit in my stomach because I felt like he'd been reading my journal. We're on the serious side today. This from The Guardian, a lengthy, really compelling article about what women comics have to put up with. Laura Duddy, who started out in stand-up comedy last year, said, if this was a normal office where on your first day, someone higher up than you goes, here's a list of guys in the office who might rape you, you'd go straight to HR. But there's no HR. There's nowhere we can go to say this is happening. Ellie Cownan says, for new comics, it's normal that a more established comic will give them a list of open mic gigs to try. But Ellie says, whereas for women, it's here's the people and gigs to avoid. Both Ellie and Laura were shocked to find they experienced sexism among men in the industry regularly, alongside less frequent but more serious sexual harassment, and that for established female artists, this was considered a hazard of the job. Incidents range from misogynist jokes on stage to sexual comments from people in power, and a chillingly common refrain, I got off lightly in the face of physical harassment. Jesus. Taking the stage after sexist jokes have been told is also common and sets the tone for conduct in the green room. Kate Smirthwaite, who's been a comedian for 16 years, says the job provides a foil. If people are being toxic and sexist, they go, it's supposed to be a joke. Anya Magaliano confronted one comedian who said he was doing it for the character. Women describe feeling pressure to brush off misconduct in order to fit in. You have to put the blinkers on and laugh about insane stuff. You do so much to put down your femaleness. I wore a little suit jacket. I wouldn't wear earrings, but sexual assault firmly puts you back in your place. Stand-up Allison Spittle says, we kept getting told we're not funny enough. You feel like you have to be too funny to assault. I thought if I work hard enough, I can be treated with respect, but it never ends. Some women talked about how they don't want an assault to define them, so they keep it to themselves. Many agreed that raising concerns leads to loss of work and online abuse, and they felt invalidated after confiding in colleagues, only to see them continue to work with the alleged perpetrators. What you see on Twitter is only the top of the iceberg, Magaliano says. Remember that some people aren't coming forward. There are lots who don't feel safe and people who are legally unable to. The lack of HR structures or a comedy industry union means that most don't know where to turn. This leaves them with a burden of guilt that the man in question will strike again. Wow, that is all terrible. That's in The Guardian if you want to check out the longer form of that. From theconversation.com, the question, is stand-up comedy art? Here's why this matters. The Arts Council of England has recently taken the step of including comedy as a form of theater under the terms of the Culture Recovery Fund, part of the emergency response package to help cultural institutions recover from the blow they've taken during the pandemic. Stand-up comedy is not created purely by the performer, but as a collaborative production between the performer, the audience, the venue, and the promoter, in the same way a theater is arranged to support dramatic performance or a gallery is lit to display paintings. So, too, must a stand-up comedy gig be presented in such a way that it contextualizes the performance to come. The iconic image of the single microphone on a stand in a spotlight is evocative of stand-up comedy without anything needing to be said. Unlike many other art forms, stand-up performance is more akin to a reactive conversation, albeit with laughter and other reactions forming the bulk of the audience response, and in turn, This instant audience critique often shapes the unfolding production as the performer reacts. Finally, it's the job of the promoter, through advertising the gig to designing the lineup of the show and introducing the artist, to create an atmosphere that the stand-up comedy can flourish in. All right, it's Sunday, so there's a new episode of the Weekly Comedy Thing. What's that? That is the show I host on the Live by Live app. That is a free app you can get. It has streaming music channels and streaming comedy channels, which I program. Also, I host the weekly show, The Weekly Comedy Thing. It's kind of sort of like this, except I can play comedy bits over there. Why don't I play them here? It's a big copyright thing. I can't take a Jim Gaffigan bit and make a million copies of it. That it just doesn't work that way. However, on the Live by Live app, we're licensed to play the clips. So if I tell a Jim Gaffigan story, then I play a Jim Gaffigan bit. So if you like me and you want to hear some stand-up, bounce on over to Live by Live. Other than that, you can subscribe to this thing for free on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. You can follow it on Spotify. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.